Statement of Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Sahib. My question to Deputy Abdullah Atam Sahib was that, since you believe Jesus alayhi salam to be God, what proof do you have in support of his divinity? There are many sects and nations that consider their reformers and founders of their religions as God. For instance, believers of Hinduism and Buddhism also present scriptural arguments to prove the divinity of their founders based on their Puranas and Shastras. In fact, they present such miracles and supernatural feats and so forcefully that you possess nothing like it. For instance, the marvels they mention having been carried out by Raja Ramchandra, Raja Krishna, Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahadev are not hidden from you. So this being the case, are most excellent logical arguments not needed to establish the one true God from among so many different gods? Wherefore, in presenting claims and in presenting scriptural proofs, all these gentlemen are just like you. Nay, rather, they appear to have the upper hand in presenting these scriptural proofs. And I did not just draw the attention of Deputy Sahib to this, but I actually presented logical arguments extracted from the Holy Quran in refutation of the divinity of the Messiah that a man who is burdened with all the human necessities cannot in any way be considered to be God. And never has it ever been established that God or the Son of God came into this world like a prophet to preach and reform the people. I regret that Deputy Sahib did not give any satisfactory reply to this. From my side, the condition had been stipulated from the outset that in this debate, both parties will present their claims from their own revealed scriptures and will also present logical arguments from these same revealed books. However, instead of presenting any logical arguments in support of Jesus being God or the Son of God, Deputy Sahib went on and on making claim after claim, feeling so very proud of some of the prophecies that he had extracted to present from the letters to the Hebrews and some other places of the Bible. Alas, he does not understand that until such prophecies are proven to be, in fact, accurate, and that the Messiah has declared himself to be the fulfillment of those prophecies, and logical arguments are presented to support these claims, till such time, these cannot be presented as proofs at all. They are actually just further claims of Deputy Sahib that need supporting arguments. Besides these claims, Deputy Sahib has not presented anything at all to prove the divinity of the Messiah. I have already explained that in John chapter 10, the Messiah, in being called the Son of God, considered himself clearly to be just like others mentioned in the Bible, and did not ascribe any special characteristic to himself in this regard, although this was the very question of those Jews who had declared him to be guilty of blasphemy. And this was indeed the reason they had held him to be guilty of blasphemy, that if you are indeed the Son of God, then present proof of your divinity. But he gave no such proof at all. It is a pity why Deputy Sahib does not understand. Was it at all possible that the question should be something and the answer something else? Had the Messiah actually considered himself to be the Son of Allah, he would certainly have presented these very same prophecies that Deputy Sahib is now presenting. And since he did not present these, we come to know that that was not his claim. If he presented them at some other occasion, or countered this repeated objection of the Jews at some other place, that he was really God or the Son of God, and these prophecies apply to his person, and he proved his divinity by his actions so that he would have been freed from this disputed prophecy, please let us know where this took place. You can now in no way keep this occasion hidden, as all your other interpretations are flimsy. The truth is indeed that the words makhsus, sanctified, and bheja gaya, one who is sent, have been used generally in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. This is one debt you owe us, which I do not see you discharging, that while you have mentioned the divinity of the Messiah, you have failed to provide any logical argument in support of his divinity, nor were you able to establish any distinction regarding him in comparison to other gods. You should tell us what argument there could be, logically speaking, that while Raja Ramchandra, Raja Krishna, or Buddha cannot be God, but the Messiah can be God. And it would be appropriate if, from now on, you do not continue to repeatedly mention those prophecies that have been turned down by the manner in which the Messiah himself spoke, and which were not employed by the Messiah at the time of need. Every reasonable person understands, without any doubt, that when he was declared a blasphemer and was attacked, and he began to be stoned, he was badly in need of those prophecies to prove his divinity, if indeed they were applicable to the Messiah and bore witness to his divinity. As he was in danger of losing his life at that moment, already having been declared a blasphemer, for what day were those essential and useful prophecies being saved? Why were they not presented? Have you ever answered this question? So what should we do with those prophecies, and with what manner of respect should we look upon them? And wherefore should we make a distinction between Jesus, the Messiah, and other artificial gods in the world? Allah, the Lord of Glory, states in the Noble Quran,
وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرٌ ابْنُ اللَّهِ وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَى الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ يُدَاهِئُونَ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَبْلِ قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهِ أَنَّا يُؤْفَكُونَ اتخذوا احبارهم ورهبانهم اربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم وما امروا الا ليعبدوا اله واحدا لا اله الا هو سبحانه عما يشركون يريدون ان يطفئوا نور الله بافواههم ويأبى الله الا ان يتم نوره ولو كره الكافرون وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ.
Meaning that Allah the Almighty says that some of the Jews say Ezra is the son of Allah, and the Christians say the Messiah is the son of Allah. That is what they say with their mouths, for which there is no proof whatsoever. They only imitate the sayings of those who disbelieved before them. That is to say, those who have declared human beings to be gods or the sons of God. May they perish. How they are turned away from the teaching. They have taken their priests and their monks for providers besides Allah, and so they have taken the Messiah, son of Mary, whereas we had commanded them not to worship anyone but the one who is God, who has no partner. Too holy is he for what they associate with him. They seek to extinguish the light of Allah with their mouths, but Allah refuses but to perfect his light, though the disbelievers may resent it. He it is who sent his messenger with guidance and the religion of truth, so that the religion may prevail over all religions, even though the idolaters may resent it. Now look in these noble verses. Allah, the Lord of Glory, states clearly that before the Christians, the Jews, that is to say some Jews, had also declared Ezra to be the son of Allah. And not only they, but some disbelievers of the earlier ages had also given the same status to their spiritual guides and leaders. So what arguments do these people have to prove that those earlier people were wrong in considering their priests to be gods, while they are right? Then the Holy Quran indicates that these were the evils that had become prevalent in the world, for the reformation of which this messenger was sent, so that, with the perfect teaching, he may eradicate those evils. Had the Jews possessed a perfect teaching, they would certainly not have made their teachers and priests into gods in contravention to the laws of the Torah. This shows that they needed a perfect teaching, just as the Messiah too had affirmed that, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. Here, the Christians take the words Spirit of Truth to mean the Holy Spirit and do not pay attention to the fact that according to them, the Holy Spirit is God, and so, who will he hear from? Whereas the words of the prophecy are, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Now, again, turning back to the earlier topic, we say that Deputy Sahib was unable to present any logical argument from the Bible about the divinity of the Messiah. However, we shall present another argument from the Noble Quran, where Allah, the Lord of Glory, says,
اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ ثُمَّ رَزَقَكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ هَلْ مِنْ شُرَكَائِكُمْ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ مِنْ ذَلِكُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ.
Meaning that, it is Allah who has created you and He has provided for you. Then He will cause you to die and He will bring you to life. Is there any of your so-called associate gods who are from among the human beings who can do any of these things? Holy is God, from the calumny that the idolaters ascribe to Him. Then Allah further states,
أَمْ جَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ شُرَكَاءَ خَلَقُوا كَخَلْقِهِ فَتَشَابَهَ الْخَلْقُ عَلَيْهِمْ قُلِ اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارِ.
Meaning that, or have they taken for partners with Allah such as our creators, like God Almighty is a creator, so that by this argument they have accepted them to be God? Say to them that the only proven fact is that Allah Almighty is the creator of all things, and He alone is supreme over all things, triumphant. In keeping with this argument of the Holy Quran, I had asked Deputy Sahib that if in the view of you gentlemen, the Messiah is truly God, you should produce some evidence of His divine attributes of creator, etc. For it cannot be the case that God should come to the world denuded and bare, having left His attributes in heaven. His attributes are associated with His being and are inseparable from Him and can never be suspended. It is not at all possible that being God, He should be powerless to manifest the perfect divine attributes. Deputy Sahib answers this by saying to me that whatever is in the heaven and the earth by way of the sun and the moon, etc., and whatever things, creatures that are found, they have been created by the Messiah. The listeners can judge for themselves what the excellence and worth of this answer is. Is this an argument that has been presented by way of proof? Or is it another claim that has been made? Do the Hindu gentlemen not say in exactly the same way that Raja Ramchandra has indeed brought into being all the creatures found in the heavens and the earth? So who should settle this issue? Then, after this, Deputy Sahib declares that signs giving evidence of faith are limited to a certain period, whereas the Messiah states in clear terms that anyone with a mustard seed grain of faith shall be able to show such and such marvels. Then he declares in John chapter 14, verse 12, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Now I ask you, what is left of your belabored interpretations? In this verse, the Messiah has in fact given his manifestly clear judgment and stated that one who believes in me will acquire my colors and shall be able to do works similar to mine, indeed even greater. This statement of the Messiah is absolutely correct and true because prophets come for this very purpose, so that people, by following them, become colored in their colors and become a branch of their tree, bearing the same flowers and fruits that they, the prophets, bear. Besides, it is obvious that man is ever in need of inner satisfaction, and in every age, when darkness spreads, there is a need for signs. How could it be, therefore, that there should be no need whatsoever of any signs to maintain the religion of the Messiah and this belief in the divinity of Jesus that is opposed to the facts? While the other people who are deemed to be established on falsehood and the Holy Prophet ﷺ, who brought the Holy Quran and is considered to be opposed to the truth, those who follow him should be manifesting signs in accord with the intent of the Holy Quran by the favor and grace of God. But for the Christians, there are no signs in the future, for they lie in the past. If the Christians now no longer have the power to show any signs, they should themselves ponder what their religion amounts to. I say again, for the third time, that just as Allah, the Lord of Glory, has established three signs of His true religion, so those are still, even now, manifestly present in Islam. Then, what is the reason that your religion has become devoid of any signs and no signs of truth remain in it anymore? Then you stated that the reason why the Messiah refused to show signs on one occasion was that he had already shown them before. I say that this statement of yours is not correct. Had he already shown signs, he would have given some reference thereto. And furthermore, I also say that I have indeed shown you the signs already. Do you not remember the paper, Nur Afshan, of 10th May 1888, in which, rejecting my prophecy with great fanfare, Messieurs Nur Afshan had written an antagonistic article against it and had included the prophecy in that publication. And then that prophecy was fulfilled in the allocated time. You have admitted already that a prophecy is also included among things miraculous. So we have already shown you one sign, and it is published in Nur Afshan. Thus, if you still have an objection after this, it would be similar to the objection that the Jews made, the details of which you have already heard in the very words of the Messiah. I need not repeat it. Now, in accord with your declaration to embrace Islam, I am very eager to hear from you to what extent you have embraced Islam upon having seen the fulfillment of this prophecy. As for me, I am ready any time for this contest, in the future also. All that remains is your request and the written conditions. And you are mistaken in your statement that having described the use of an abusive word by the Messiah, it is as if I have disrespected him. I consider the Messiah a true prophet and a venerable and beloved servant of God Almighty. That was merely a remonstrative rejoinder that was appropriate to your taste, and that accusation falls on you, not on me. The rest later. Signature English, Ghulam Qadir Fasih, President, Representing Muslims. Signature English, Henry Martin Clark, President, Representing Christians.